going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the ground is short. Henderson is there, and the Orioles take it 2-1.
The Orioles are now 1-13 in games in which they score 4 runs or fewer. So they've played 24 games, and 14 of those games they failed to score more than 4 runs. That's a problem. Offense last night, you know, pitching was great. Cade Povich was exactly what they needed last night, because if he does less than what he does last night, then they're going into extra innings, and, you know, who knows what happens there. He goes 6 2/3 innings. Gunnar Henderson error stopped him from going to full 7. Gives up 1 run, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, walks 1. That ERA is close to getting under 5 now for the year. He looked completely different than he did his last outing. Yennier Cano comes in, records an out in the 7th. Soto comes in, gets behind on each batter, and wins each battle. And it looks like our buddy Bautista is starting to whip himself back into form as well. He threw 2 bowling ball sinkers last night that looked like the old Bautista.
Yeah. And who came through again? Mullins and O'Hearn.
Yeah. They've been the guys all year so far.
That's been who's been, you know, keeping them, you know, at least the head above water this far.
Yeah, Laureano started it off with the double. Mm-hmm. And then you're right, O'Hearn, who's batting down in the order, he drives him in, and then Mullins does the same. So, you know, you're right, the same guys, usual suspects.
Well, you know, I'd sent the one thing to the group that Steve Molesky had tweeted, and Rob, I like your response to it, because it's something that you really can't sit here and keep bringing up because people think you're making excuses for him. But they do hit the ball really hard. They began tied for 3rd in MLB in exit velocity, ahead of their 2024 mark, and also 4th in MLB in hard hit percentage. Just hitting them right at a lot of guys right now.
I thought the best exchange for that, Jeremy, was, if you remember, after the Arizona series, lost a huge game. And I said, man, it just seems like they're hitting the ball hard, but right at people. Your response was, well, with a record like that, that's a hard sell. It's a hard sell. But Steve is giving you the real numbers. They're hitting the ball hard right at people, which means defenses, Ed, are playing them well.
Yeah, they were in position. I mean, they're scouting them well, apparently. You see guys, you know, you'll see a rocket fired right at second base, and somebody's there, and they shouldn't be.
By the way, for people, that's analytics, too. So it's information about where you hit the ball for people that don't like analytics.
No, it's absolutely true. They're shaded towards second base. It's like, and the defender's right there. You hit a 95-mile-an-hour ball. Should be out of the infield.
How much has this game changed? Like, you're looking at outfielders and even pitchers take off their hat, and they got a little note in there telling them where they should be or how to face this batter. I mean, they have something for everything. Like, years ago, you weren't seeing guys coming off and watching iPads to look at their bat to see what happened.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely true. When you see guys, like you said, take off their hat, pull a card in their pocket, like, oh, he's up. What do I do now? Oh, let me move over here. It's like, and they do, and it works, unfortunately, very often for us. But
is it me? The Orioles are 10-14. That's not the record that you want them to have naturally. But is it me, or does it seem like they're worse than 10-14?
No,
when I looked
worse
at the record today, I'm like, 10-14.
Yeah. Well, it just feels a lot worse.
Here's the problem, in my opinion, and I know there's still people that aren't going to agree with me, Rob, is that I still think this is a good team that had a ton of injuries. I think that's what you're seeing.
It's ridiculous to say they're not. Come on.
On a game-to-game basis, too, and again, the hard part now is because of your injuries, you're either making some sort of reaction and making a quick trade, if you can find that, or you're trying to weather the storm until you can get to May when help is coming. And, you know, I think, I mean, Kyle Gibson's going to be on his way. Maybe we see him after the Detroit series. But at the same extent, this is who they are right now. And I feel like it's not like they need to go on a 10-game winning streak. That's what everybody wants. But they need to keep trying to win series, battle back, and hopefully be above 500, near 500, whatever it is, when you get to that point of the beginning of May.
Yeah. I don't feel like there's time to throw dirt on them, man. It's just, you know, again, 10-14, you're one run away from getting this thing back above 500. We were talking yesterday up in the booth. If they can find themselves around 500 when these guys start coming back, now all of a sudden you can make a real run after that. It's not going to take a lot of wins to win the American League East. It's just not. I thought 91 before. I'm not sure to take that. It may be 88, 89, to be honest with the way things are going.
Yeah.
I think 96 gets you in. I mean, I'm sorry, 86 gets you in. Maybe not winning the division, but I think 86 wins could get you in the postseason this year in the American League. I just don't think it's going to be a high-volume win season, Ed.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. It's in the AL East. The National League, they look strong. They've got some teams there with, you know, great records early on, but I think you're right. I think they're going to beat up on each other. The division winner may have 90 wins or something, 91 wins, but I think that's what's going to happen, and I think the Orioles get in anyway, and I do believe they're going to be good. They'll be healthy enough when the sick and injured come back, record-wise. I mean, if they hover around 500 when they start getting their players back, I think they're going to be fine because they just have too much talent. It's the same people who have won 192 games in the last, you know, 2 years. It's the same people. Nothing's changed.
Well,
they can't be like this.
Ed, you were talking about all the good teams in the National League. The Mets are scary good, and Juan Soto is not even playing well yet. So
yeah,
that's been
best record in baseball right now.
Yeah, been a fun watch for them. And then on top of it, too, when you start kind of looking where the Orioles are, who you're competing with, the only problem that I can see now is if you end up just wearing this bullpen out because the starting pitching's been so bad.
Yep.
And that's, you know, when we had these discussions of what's worse, the hitting or pitching, and the answer, of course, is yes. I said pitching and you guys said hitting, and again, I know you guys understand my concern with pitching, because it's just obvious we're concerned about both, but I do feel like the hitting has a chance to turn around without any major changes. I don't think the pitching has a shot to do that.
Let's get one call before we head to the break. Parkville, Eli, what's going on, Eli?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Talking to a coworker yesterday. Happy Friday, by the way. I was talking to a coworker yesterday about signing Cedric Mullins early, because if we wait till, like, you know, the end of the year, I mean, it's going to be – the way he's playing is just ridiculous. Like, he'll be, one of the best outfielder free agents. Y'all have a good Friday.
Yeah, you too, man. I don't know. So it's tough. If he has a bang-up year going into the offseason, yeah, I think he could get paid – a little bit more than what we're probably thinking for him. The problem that the Orioles have is that you drafted Enrique Bradfield Jr. to eventually be this guy's replacement.
I don't think this season changes what he's going to make dramatically, Jeremy.
I don't either, because he has a track record of who he is.
Exactly. I just don't see that.
But I think it could help him get a few more bucks and make a team flinch, because all you need is two teams that like you and to drive up the price.
I think this season has a better chance of adding a year to his contract than it does a lot of numbers.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You may get more numbers because you get a year added. But like you said, it's just too much. I don't think he was getting a bargain basement contract in the first place. I think the one concern would have been years. Cedric Mullins is going to get $15 million a year. That's what he's going to get. I don't think he's getting $20 million a year.
Hey, Rob, I already looked it up to see if it was possible, but the Knicks play – in Detroit on Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock game, so you can't go. But I thought it would be great if you could take a picture courtside watching the Knicks in the postseason and just send it to Ed.
That would be wonderful. Yes,
you could be there sitting next to Ben Stiller and Timothy Chalamet. It'd be great.
Yeah, they're all going to be there.
I think it's hilarious that you had me going to an NBA game.
Well, it's a playoff game. I thought maybe that would be a little bit different. Okay. Yeah, I'll just
World of Stupid with Jeremy Gunn at 7:45, but on the other side, do you agree with the Ravens' decisions in the first round? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
I feel like it was a really good place for me to be, just with the type of organization that they run and, you know, the history they have there as well. Just the things that they've been doing the last few years, I think it's a great fit for me. Just to come in and learn from a guy like Kyle Hamilton and a lot of vets in the room like Marlon Humphrey, I mean, I think it's amazing. And I think I fit the culture very well.
Ed Norris broadcasting from Sarasota, Florida. I'm broadcasting from the Ticket in Detroit. Jeremy Kahn back at the Hub at the Fan. And that was Malachi Starks, a newest member of the Baltimore Ravens, safety out of the University of Georgia. You know, someone said a little bit earlier, Jeremy, that, you know, he had an offensive lineman there. They thought it would go that way. I did not. I think the Ravens right now can win with the offensive line that they have. They'll pick up somebody for depth, naturally. But I think it was more of a necessity, the safety position and pass rusher. And I think out of all the positions that you had to address, Malachi Starks was the best player available at those positions.
I think he helps change that side of the ball completely. And it's not just about him. It's what you can do with Kyle Hamilton. But you know, in my belief, if Malachi Starks wasn't there, I think the Ravens trade out. I mean, you saw teams trade, like the Giants wanted to trade in and make sure they got Jackson Dart. As much as they love picks, and I know they have 11 of them, I think if he wasn't there that they trade back. Maybe they take the kid out of South Carolina, but I don't know.
Oh, they may have taken Simmons, the offensive lineman.
That's another
State
one, too. Yeah, but again, if you have three or four guys there, are you afraid to trade back, depending on how far you have to go back, obviously?
Yeah.
I think the
board. I think Starks is a game. I think he's a. It's a fantastic pick. Because think about this. Their offense is prolific. They have an incredibly potent offense right now. It's going to be that way as long as Lamar's on this team. The defense is really good, but what was suspect? The pass defense for a while. Then they got their act together. Now you've really shored that up a lot. One of the best, maybe the best safety in the draft to go with maybe the best safety in the NFL. I think they've really made a good move here.
I did too. I think everything fell their way, fell in their laps, and we've seen that before. By the way, did you guys notice someone told Joe that when they went to the Ravens war room, you could see their whole draft?
That was last year's board. That's a picture that's going around. It was from last year.
Okay, all right. So because yeah. I didn't notice that. So that wasn't.
I saw it as soon as I got up this morning and started reading through the thread, and there were so many people pointing out that it was last year's draft. But again, I know this stuff leaks out. We've had it happen. I think it happened to the Cowboys. I think it happened to the Ravens before, where something got out.
It's interesting stuff if you ever get to see what these guys do. I remember I was in, this is years ago, I was at Roots Chris in Pikesville.
Mm-hmm.
And Harbaugh was there with his staff. He saw me, came over. At the end, when they were finished and I was walking out to Cincy, but he invited me in. They had their draft board was up on the wall. They were doing it right there. And it was just really cool to see all the people involved in this. It was a room full of people and a bazillion names with all kinds of things next to them. It was fascinating stuff.
The thing that catches my eye as soon as you look at that board is I'm looking in red. See, who's written in red? Who's the guys that they aren't taking? Because I said this yesterday doing the show with Vinny that I would sign an NDA in a heartbeat. I'd love to just sit in the room and hear the conversations that go
That's
on.
That's what I mean.
And the phone calls that we're not privy to of things that don't happen.
Yeah, because you know there's so many other conversations. I mean, you're talking about millions of dollars that are on the line. You talk about years, 2 or 3 years relationships, sometimes 4 and 5 that you have to commit to. I want a lot of information. And again, I think Mike Green is a guy who is Exhibit A for that. And I think some of these guys, I think what we're seeing now, and it'll come out because the NFL wants it to come out. I think some of these guys lost on interviews, to be honest with you. I think, you know what I mean, you had some questions, you brought them in, you asked all those questions, and maybe they didn't give you the answers that you wanted to hear. Maybe they didn't seem contrite. Maybe they didn't seem, you know, maybe they're making excuses about what they did. And if that's the case, I don't want them.
Hey, Rob. Sorry, I had to go get that. let me ask you this, though. With the NIL stuff that's going on, do you think we're getting... the right word to use here. Money changes people. Yeah. Do you think we're getting some of that? Because I feel like in the next few years, we're going to start hearing about how frustrated these guys are with the interviews because a lot of these cats already made bank.
Yeah. But it's one thing making bank. You're making $2-3 million a year. That's cute. When you talk about NFL money there, that's cute. And these NIL guys for basketball. When you start looking at the money you can make in basketball world, in the NBA, then you look back at that NIL money, you say the same thing. That
but
was cute.
Even the bigger, like Shedeur Sanders has endorsements. You know, we talked about Juju at USC and her having State Farm. And, I mean, there's so many of these guys. Who was the quarterback in Texas did a Dr. Pepper commercial? Quinn Ewers. So, like, some of these
guys.
Let's
talk business, Jeremy. Let's talk business. Shedeur Sanders has endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
Are his endorsements more now today than they were the day before? No, they're not, because he slipped to the second round. Let's just say hypothetically speaking, neither one of us have given him this charge. But let's say he went in with that mindset, man, I'm already making my money. Well, yeah, you know what? Those people that signed on with you probably thought you were going to be a first round draft pick.
Well,
they probably thought so. They probably thought you were going to be a starting NFL quarterback. They probably thought that as well. Now you fall into the second round, and you're probably not going to be a starter. What if your career is not what it was? Now those endorsements dry up.
Well, I get all that's happening, but we're talking about teenagers and guys into their 20s that are making bank according to what, like, you're being told how great you are. Now you're making $2 million to play college football. And I do think it changes. I'm not saying it's smart. I'm saying these kids should look in the mirror and realize, like, hey, I got a little piece of the pie. There's a real big piece over there if I'm that jackass. Yeah.
No, we're saying the same thing. We're saying, you know, if that's going on right now, the classes behind them need to learn these lessons.
Yeah.
That, you got all of this money there. You get all these endorsements, all these. Do you think they're going to stay with you because they like you? No. They're going to stay with you. They only stay with you if you do something for them. I don't give you millions unless I make billions off of you. If I give you $5 million, that means I'm making 20 off of you. You know what I mean? At least 20 off of you. Because if not, I'm not giving you anything. And I think sometimes, like you said, they're teenagers, they're young men, they're young women. They don't understand the business of what they're doing. They only understand what they're being given. So if or none of us, neither of us are saying this is what's happening.
Yeah.
But if it is happening, you better learn those lessons real quick. Do you like what the Ravens did last night? If not, let us know why. What would you have done if you were in the room? Give us a call, 410-583-1057. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy, and no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Coming from a place like University of Georgia with that physicality that we play in the SEC, you know, it gets you prepared to go in the league and, you know, keep that physicality, but also learn how to be more physical. So I'm excited just to get there and learn.
For him to get here and to learn. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris in Sarasota, Rob Long in Detroit, Jeremy Kahn in Baltimore. Want to hear from you, 410-583-1057. Do you like what the Ravens did last night? If not, why? What would you have done if you were EDC? Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good. Doing well. How are you?
All right. All right, I didn't fall asleep charging and have any nightmares about Rob this time, man.
Yeah, but did you have any fantasies?
I didn't fall asleep this time at all. Hey, the first thing I thought, yeah, they definitely improved themselves, but the first thing I thought is Rob is doing cartwheels because I know how much he was big up in Malachi Starks, you know, the other day. So they definitely have improved their secondary, and I agree with the pick wholeheartedly.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that, Mike. I love the pick. I love the whole pick. I do. I love everything about it. Sometimes you can pick things apart, and I have nothing to pick apart on this.
No, it's tough. I mean, it's tough to pick apart something that's getting A pluses from around the country. We hope safety was a need. There were a couple that we were talking about. He was certainly one of them. He was your favorite. They get him. I think he's going to fit in perfectly here.
Call him my favorite when it was a safety from South Carolina there as well.
That's true. Yes. Who is a physical freak.
Yeah, he is.
But it's a very Ravens move.
Let's go to Chris in New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Rob, Jeremy, Kamish, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing all right.
How are you?
Been a long time. Finally made it out of San Antonio, back to the East Coast.
There you go.
There you go.
There we go. I love the pick. Honestly, I really love the pick. My only question is, do you see Kyle Hamilton being used more at linebacker now, or are they going to keep him at safety?
I think he's going to be that monster back that he was 2 years ago. I think that's why you drafted him. He's all over the place. And I call it monster because that's what they called him.
Because you're old.
When I was in high school.
Exactly.
That's basically, you line them up on the ball side a lot. and you basically chase the ball.
You set them loose.
Sometimes you drop them back in coverage. That's not a linebacker position. That's a
hybrid position. It's a real position.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why the name went away, but it's. I mean, that's what I played. That's what I played in college. I would call the strength, as you know, the free safety would call the coverage. I would call the strength, and I would go to that side, and I would do exactly what you're saying. I'd be on the line. And it was called Monster everywhere, except Michigan. It was called Wolfman.
Yeah, Wolfman, yep.
How did you guys spell it, Ed? Was it M-O-N-S-T-A?
H.
Oh, H, I forgot.
Monster.
Yeah. Oh, I got you.
Yeah, I mean, I think people, because he's close up on a lot of scrimmage, they called him in a linebacker position. That's not a linebacker
position. It's not.
That's absolutely not. You know, if you look at how football was played in the 80s and 90s, they had safeties up at the line of scrimmage. I think David Fulcher, who played for the Cincinnati Bengals years ago, he was famous for that. I mean, that's what safeties did a lot. Ronnie Lott played up on a line of scrimmage and back in coverage. Yeah. He's basically a throwback safety. That's what he is. It's not a linebacker position. That's a safety position.
Well, you know, again, with what they can do with Kyle Hamilton, I do think you're talking about the monster back spot. Regardless of what they decide to do, I think injuries might play into something throughout the year, depending on how it goes. But primarily, I think you're right. You're going to see him up near the line of scrimmage because he's so good there. And it's kind of how the Rams used Jalen Ramsey when he first came, even though he was a cornerback because he was a bigger corner. They'd play him in the slot because he'd be so good in the run game when they decided to run the football.
I don't know why there's so much confusion with people, though, because it's been safe. You mentioned Ronnie Lott. There's been so many safeties like that throughout the NFL's history.
Trey Polamalu,
Ronnie Lott, John Lynch, Jack. I mean, these guys were hitters. They were fierce tacklers, very hard hitters. They played. You know, the run was their strength.
Think about the famous no call. We got upset with Joe Flacco for not recognizing Troy Polamalu. Where was Troy Polamalu? At the line.
At the line, uncovered.
He blinked and he was up his ass. That's what happened.
You know, so it's and I think they don't recognize it, Ed, because for the past 10 years or so, you haven't seen that. It kind of went away. We recognize it a little bit more because, hey, that was every team I played against in high school, the best player on defense played that position. I'm going to go with four. If this Kyle Malachi starts is who we think he is, four, at least four. That's how many sacks Kyle Hamilton will have next year. Hmm. At least four.
Yeah, I think it frees him up a lot.
I think they're going to unleash him sometime.
Because they've had to use his talents to make up for weaknesses in the secondary. You don't have to do that now, hopefully.
Yeah, I think four. He'll get at least four, Jerry.
But and look, I agree with all this. At some point, they are going to have to address this pass rusher thing. I mean, and I think whether that's free agency next year, whether it's the draft next year, at some point you got to find a way to find you your guy and have that set. Because I love what they were talking about for Cleveland before they got offered a lion's share to go to that number two pick. Them actually taking Abdul Carter. They probably would have taken Travis Hunter, but if they'd taken Carter, look at those bookend pass rushers you have. It's going to be very hard to double team Myles Garrett. You're still going to have to if Abdul Carter is what we think he can be.
Let's go out to the phone, guys.
We all want an edge rusher. We want a premier edge rusher. Mm-hmm. The Ravens have been at the top of the NFL in sacks the last couple of seasons somehow.
Yeah.
Last year. They were second behind the Broncos.
The scheme is fantastic. He puts guys in right places.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joppa and get Trey. What's up, Trey?
What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Not much, man.
Definitely like the pick. I wanted a pass rusher. I think I told you guys that. But I love the pedigree of Georgia. I love how they play defense down there. So I trust the pick. I think it's a good pick. Last caller actually hit on it wasn't his point, but thinking about Kyle Hamilton. It's one or two answers. Does Kyle Hamilton play more like a safety or a linebacker to you?
A safety.
Okay. So my thing with that would be, you know, I'm a biggest Ravens fan, but I'm skeptical of guys. I need more ball production out of him. You know, when I think of his best plays, they look more like linebackerish than safety-ish to me.
You're defining what a safety is. A safety is a playmaker. A safety is not a guy who just intercepts balls. A safety is not a guy who just tackles. A safety is your biggest playmaker on the field. And Kyle Hamilton has been that since he's been with the Baltimore Ravens. You're trying to put Kyle Hamilton in a box, And that's what you can't do. You can't compare. What safety are you comparing him to?
I'm ball hawks, guys that roam the field.
Those are free safeties.
How is he not a
ball hawk?
Those
are different players.
Yes. Look at the play he made against Cleveland a couple of years ago when he took the ball from the guy and ran it back. He's a ball hawk. He's a playmaker. You're trying to compare him to people, and you can't. Because there has not been a safety like him in 20 years.
I know balls. That's the problem. He's a ball hawk.
He's a ball hawk.
Well, you know, like.
I mean, do you know who the second leading tackler in the NFL was last year? It was a safety. It was Buda Baker. This is what they do, the good safeties. They've outstanding tacklers. Interceptions on. You know how many picks he had last year? None. Mm.
And he's one of the best in the league.
He
That's
is.
What I'm you're trying to define him with your definition of what a safety is. A safety is a playmaker, often your best playmaker on the field. And I'm sorry, that's Kyle Hamilton. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Rockabacco joins us to talk Orioles baseball at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, we're going to – some interesting stuff today. I am going to tell you guys a phenomenal love story. You know how I love love stories. It's just – it always
you talk about a love story.
Oh, I talk about them all the time, and they're usually unusual relationships, but I love them.
kind of like our relationship love. With you.
Yes. And we're going to talk about a woman that gets charged now extra – when she gets a Brazilian and she's upset, but I'll tell you why she gets charged extra. and also a woman that got something in her salad that I don't even know how I would react. We'll talk about it next in the World of Stupid. All right, here we go. We're going to start it off with this poor woman in Australia. Well, I guess you could say couple that went to dinner, lunch, whatever you want to call it. Phone's ringing, dude. So here's what we have. It is kind of funny though, when you're looking at, this story. So a woman found a rat in her salad. Okay. So this happened in Australia. The way that they talk about this in a Sydney restaurant, the woman alleged to have come across the dead animal while eating katsu don set at a Japanese restaurant. I don't know what the hell that is. The customer who posted a Google review under the name D.O. said she found the rodent in her half-eaten side salad. Ew. I just couldn't imagine this. I'd eaten half of it at this point. Just absolutely revolting and unacceptable. Everyone who was present at the time stood up and left the restaurant, except for two young ladies they interviewed. They had an eyewitness.
He went up there, and he was coming back down towards us, and he goes, run, he's got a gun.
They didn't actually see that. Sorry, I had to play that from the other day with the two twins or the twins that were talking at the same time. But have you guys, what's the worst thing? Have you ever had any time where you found something in your food?
Yeah, minor stuff, hairs, small hair, insects. But
a bug, that's it.
Yeah, bug, things like that. I've had things like that. But
I remember the lady at the arena who found, I think it was a lady, a rat in her popcorn years ago.
But I mean, that's a big animal. How the hell do they get into, like, katsu?
They come small, too. Big thing of popcorn.
And they tried to say in this article that it was a feral rat, but I was reading up on this rat, and apparently it was more of a homebody. It didn't go out much. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't wild.
Gosh. Not a party? Oh
yeah, no, it was a homebody.
Too early for it. Too
Sorry.
Early.
All right. Swing and a miss. tried the corner and missed. All right. But, yeah, like, there's a picture of it, too. If people want to see it, I'll retweet it, at JCon Sports. But it's just gross. Like, we found, and like, it was ahead of time, so we just threw the salad out, but there was like a dead lizard in one of our salads. Like a bag of salad.
Lizard. Yeah.
Lizard.
That happens.
What commercial was that?
What, lizard?
Yeah, lizard.
Was that the Budweiser one with the frogs?
It may have been.
Yeah. But anyway, so let's move on to the next story. This poor woman with the rat in there. It's disgusting. Let's go to, this is one, client's furious over unexpected text after she got after receiving her first Brazilian wax. This also in Australia. Should we go back to the eyewitnesses and what they saw?
Charles Palbino, I'm 36.
Oh, no, you got the wrong one up. You got the wrong one up. Oh, man. A young Aussie's been left absolutely fuming after a waxer revealed why she'd have to charge her more in the future. Sarah Button, 27, took to social media after her first Brazilian waxing appointment to say she received an unexpected message. To clarify, a Brazilian wax is when you get your pubic hair removed, so people know that. Pubes. Does everybody know that? Pubes, yeah. Gone. They put in hardwood floors, basically.
Front and back.
Yeah. By the way, the waxer called Button a term of endearment, but then calls Button a term of endearment, but then she drops the bombshell that she'd been charging her more in the future. And she goes, just in the future, I'll have to charge you a little bit more because of the size of the area. I hope that makes sense. Nothing
crazy. It's a term of endearment. We should call the Arby.
Yeah. I mean, that's the, you know. Like $5 or $10. The woman is claiming she has what she believes to be a rather large fupa.
Mm.
I don't have to explain fupa to anyone, do I?
Just Joe.
Joe. You know what a fupa
Run,
is?
Run! He's got a gun!
There's the eyewitness again. The experiencedly particularly hurt Button because she's actually said on social media that she has a fatty upper pubic area, which, okay, if that's what you want to call it. It made me feel initially a bit sad and confused and ashamed, but that quickly turned to anger, and I was just pissed off about the whole thing. I thought this was going to be something where there was just, you know, they're saying there's a lot of ground to cover, but does it mean the same thing? Like, is there more fur, Ed?
It's funny. When you tease the story, I thought it was the other. I thought it was the
Yeah, that's what I thought,
thing.
Too. Yeah. That maybe you had to go in and out some areas, and it's a little harder to work around.
Yeah, a lot to navigate and stuff.
Your bush starts above your belly button, whatever that could be.
Lift things up and
put them down.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I'm just thinking about that now. Yes.
But I'm looking at this
lift and snatch.
Yes.
What were they shaving there, Rob?
Isn't that Olympic? Oh, that's an Olympic lift, isn't it?
Yeah.
The lift and snatch?
No, it's just the snatch, right? It's
why I said it.
Is it the clean?
Took us somewhere else.
The clean and jerk.
Hold on, no, you got to be clean when you do that. But is it clean and snatch too, or is it just you only jerk when you're clean?
No, that's the new one here.
All right, I'm just checking. So people were chiming into her. Crikey, that's rough. So yeah, you do know it's in Australia. All right, let me get away from this story. Last story here, we talk about love stories. Want to play some sound, and then I'll explain this love story. Listen to this.
Charles Palabino, I'm 36 years old. I'm from Beaver Creek, Wisconsin. And my wife, Juniper, and I have been married now for 12 years. We actually met in high school. It was love at first sight. I was in the library checking out Catcher in the Rye for an English. A lot of people don't see Juniper the way I do. Love you. Yeah. We actually met in high school when this hand mysteriously comes out of nowhere and grabs the book. And I was like, hey, that's the only copy left. And she goes, hey, how about this? I'll read the book to you if you take me out to dinner. And I couldn't resist. So we went out that night, and the rest is history.
So the thing does now. Do you guys know? Do you know this story?
Character. No.
Oh, this. He's in love, but the problem is, and you didn't hear her speak because it's an imaginary girlfriend.
There we go.
She's not real. She doesn't exist. Like to me, this is even worse than having one of those love dolls.
Could we back up for a second?
Yeah.
That was a dude talking?
Yes. Oh, that's the thing that got you? But he was talking about his imaginary girlfriend who picked the same book that he wanted.
Yeah.
What in the hell? I mean, we have levels of crazy, and we get to points like this where you go, does nobody help him? Does anybody say anything to this poor cat?
Hey, Jeremy, let's be honest, man. I mean, and I'm not just throwing you under the bus, but I got to give a real situation. We all have imaginary girlfriends.
Oh.
And you got caught with yours from your wife.
No, she got out before she got in. No, actually, she saw, well, that would have been
we
mine.
We all have imaginary girlfriends, man. We just don't marry them.
Rosie Palm and her five sisters. Yeah. Well, again, like, it's funny playing this and you hear that and you're going, well, what's wrong with that? Well, because the person's not real. And I don't know when this happens in someone's life where things get fractured, because we've seen people that were dating dolls. That there was a woman that dated
real dolls.
There was a woman that married a ghost, or at least she told us she did. I didn't hear him say I do.
I would love to hear the part to explain the wedding. They've been married for 12 years. Can you explain, did someone act, was there imaginary chaplain?
I don't
priest?
Need to hear anything except the family talk about it. I want to know what his
talk,
family thinks.
Because he sounds like a South Park character, and I just could hear, he could read me a book.
What do you think, it was Butters? Butters with his bitches?
It was hilarious.
Butters with his bottom bitches? Better have his money. Nice. But anyway, that love story finishes up your world stupid.
Thank you very much. Shovels at 8:45. But on the other side, we're talking Orioles baseball. MassinSports.com's own Rockabacco joins us up next on The Fan.